Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, singers. This is my prayer. Well, this is going to be a very important message as we move into a different realm of the service. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Very prominent passage of scripture, something that is very apparent and something that everyone needs to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, very appropriate, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Repeating, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." The title of this morning's message is No Fear. No fear. Amen. Do we have the graphic? Amen. No fear. Thank you, my brother. So, children, let's be calm. Let's be at peace. Let's listen. Parents, let's manage the best that we know how at this hour. The effects of fear can be described as a chain reaction, starting with the brain as a stressful stimuli that ends with the release of chemicals causing the heart to race, fast breathing, the adrenaline is rushing, as well as many other things. People break out in hives, or as one particular songwriter said, a cold sweat. There's also this thing or this phenomenon called a fight or flight response. When someone comes up to you and scares you, as an example, you got two reactions. Some folk will be like, ah, and run. You know, and they run out the door and there's all types of hysteria. And then the other folk will stay there and start swinging. Flight or fight. And that in and of itself, it still compromises many people in this nation. The people who took all the toilet paper, flight. The people who are shopping, fight. And we'll just keep it at that category, because this is not a message about disparaging one particular group or the other, because people respond how they respond. But for the Christian, for the believer, for the one that has an X factor in regards to the things of God and what's going on in this nation, we should conduct ourselves a little bit differently than those that don't know God. We should have a message for those type of people. So the stimulus could be somebody jumping out of the closet, being pranked. It could be a spider, heights, or even public speaking. And most recently, as we're talking about having a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other, the coronavirus. Just to talk about just the way that people look and see things, my wife and I, we were doing grocery shopping even on yesterday. And as we were passing by, getting ready to get some dairy, we happened to look to our left and we saw cases and cases of beer. And the one that was full was Corona. Watch this. And it was an Asian person with their Asian child looking at it at the same time. Now, I will tell you this. There was a lot of things that were going through my head, but one of them was not fear. What it actually jumped into my brain is how many people would look at that, take a photo, and be like, nuh-uh, you need to go back where you came from. Unnecessary things. Trauma, different types of situations or circumstance that actually goes on, and we need to be aware and cognizant of such foolishness and foolish thoughts. So this hysteria that's out there got folk buying rolls of toilet paper that they don't even need, hand sanitizer instead of taking the time to wash their hands. That's what's going on. Fear. Fear can be a hindrance, a weight of insurmountable force. You won't drive because of fear of crashing. You won't fly out of fear of falling. You won't go on a cruise out of fear of drowning. It stops an individual from confronting sin because out of fear of what they'll think about you. It keeps mouth closed in the face of injustice because of fear of being fired. Stops people from giving, stops people from going back to school, keeps you from asking for a raise at work, making friends as an adult, and saying, sadly, a person will not say, I love you, out of fear of being hurt again. It is the fuel for anxiety, the foundation of anonymity. You just want to hide. The fertilizer for insecurity and the devil's potion for destroying the faith of the believer by bringing up situations, trauma, and circumstances that melts the heart of once mighty warriors in the face of mushrooming opposition. It's so important. Fear. So as we go through this day, let's try to change the narrative, if you will. The world is not going to change, and I see how the media systematically reports one case at a time to keep the flow of ratings coming to their pages, even though they're at work. They haven't went home. How come the media hasn't gone home? So I'll tell you, and I'm starting to see this more and more, when you don't know what to do, sometimes the best thing to do is just stay home when you don't know what to do. But for the Christian, it should be different. For the secular nations, they may not know. For government, they may not know. And it's good for you to abide by rules. And there's many large congregations that are abiding by different advice. And there's no problem with that. There's the gospel of staying at home and fellowshipping one with another. But we need to make sure that we do not lose our faith in such situations. Be wise. There are at times when fear paralyzes us. First of all, because of the fear of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 57 gives us an antidote of this. And that's the reason why you see so much mass hysteria, because there's a great swath of people, whether they're some of them, a small section of them are believers, but a large section of them that are not believers that have a strong fear of death. That's the reason why they'll just stay there and just hide out and bunker out, because they have an intense fear of dying, because they do not believe in the afterlife. It's all about YOLO. It's all about moving forward and living your best life now, because you never know when you're going to leave this planet. But I want to live my life as if I know that the next world that it is to come will be glorious and great and not one full of panic and anxiety. So if you have a fear of death, here's the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 57 says, Behold, I tell you the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, without disease, without calamity to their flesh, without any pain or crying, and we shall be changed to our glorified bodies. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important for us to understand, that you should not be afraid of dying. Now, be cautious. You don't need to bungee jump off of the most remote building after 15 people died prior to you getting on there. We're not telling you to be foolish. We're not telling you to go to Italy right now just to prove your faith. We're not telling you to have service if you got thousands and thousands of people in your congregation. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that wherever God has given you, or whatever God has given you, he's given every person a measure of faith. But for the Christian, that faith should be increasing as time goes by. The measure should be building up. No fear of death. At the end of this life, things should be getting better. But then some people have a fear of failure. I got fired. I don't know if I could get hired again. I got a record. I don't know if anybody will hire me. And I don't have the mindset to be an entrepreneur. I got pregnant, but the person didn't stay. I got released from this particular position, and it won't happen over and over again. So this is something that goes on over and over again. So we need to understand that you shouldn't just have a fear of failure. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. This is so appropriate. And it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage, people of God. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." If you go on a plane, a train, an automobile, walking outside, going through the grocery store, going to the hotel, the classroom, God is still with you. And if you do catch something, whatever it may be, God is still with you. God doesn't always protect us from everything. He still allowed for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. He still allowed for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to still be thrown into the fiery furnace. But that oftentimes is when God is revealed. Some people don't believe if nothing ever happens to them. Sometimes people believe when it does happen to them, because that's when God reveals himself mightily. "I'm not going to let this affliction pass your door, but I'm going to help you get through it. And if you don't get through this, because I'm using this to allow for you to leave from this world, if you are in me and I am in you and you have a relationship with my son, then you know where you're going. Got you covered on all bases. No fear." Fear of failure should not hold you. God is going to be with you. But then some people have a fear of rejection. We see this all the time, where you want everybody to like you. Sensitive. I see it on Facebook posts. I see it how people conduct themselves. You really care what people think about you. You want everybody to like you. Let me give you a news alert. Everybody ain't gonna like you. No matter what you do, how cool you are, some people are just certified haters. Certified. They got a degree in hating. They went to college for it. And the college is using their words to distract you from your calling. Don't let it happen. Don't worry about what people are saying. God accepted you, and there's folk around you that love you. And if you have no family, guess what? When you save, you got this whole group of folk that could be the family of God that'll treat you better than a brother. They'll be closer to you than a sister. Could be your new mama, new daddy. And they'll let you roll along with them through this life. Romans 8, chapter 14, verse 7 through 17 says, "For as many as ye are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, I belong to you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." In other words, we got the hookup. "If so, be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." That means that when you go through things in life, just know that God is with you and that you are joint heir of Christ. And when we cry out to God, he will hear us, even though we think sometimes that he is being silent. Don't need to be fearful of dying. Don't need to have a fear of failure. Michael Jordan failed 30,000 times, missed 30,000 shots, but he still got those 6 rings on his finger, and LeBron is still trying to get his 4. Failure is not a destiny. It's an option. But then what about fear of the unknown? The what if? What if I go to divine truth, where God wants your dreams and visions realized, and everybody's coughing, sneezing, huffing, and puffing? What if they got that corona? You know, people are so silly sometimes, and I think it's good. Because now, you know, especially sometimes, Brown, chocolate and everywhere in between type folk, we start making fun of stuff. I saw somebody make a song out of the coronavirus. I think it was, I'm going to go ahead and put on out there, Lisa Jordan's page. It was Cardi B, and she was just doing it and getting up, and everybody was dancing. I saw Elmo do it like this and whatnot. They were just joking and whatnot. And I was like, y'all need to stop, but it put a smile on my face. Because sometimes when you get so far into reading things, it'll start stressing you out to the point where you don't even want to go outside. You need a break in the monotony of fear. What if I can't go back to work? What if they start closing things down? What if there's no toilet paper? I gave you the remedy, moss, a hole, and a lake. That's it. You'll survive. You can get through this. Many of you didn't grow up during the times of depression. That's why when you see elderly people, they're just like, well, if it's my time to go, I'll go. Because they've seen all of these things through all of these years, and they've gotten through it, each and every one. What about 1918? Over 50 million people died. You're right. Things will happen, but that's not now. It's not now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30 says this, and it goes as the following, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Only thing I know is that God is 100% in control. Matthew 6, 25 through 30 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than just having a clothes or a Dooney and Burke or Burberry or Gucci? Isn't God more than that? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap. I don't see any bird out there saying, I'm scared of that corona. Tweet, tweet. No, we got up yesterday morning. We heard the birds just tweeting away. Animals that don't even know better. What are they doing? They're carrying on business as normal. As normal. So look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns like folk do. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable, man and woman of God, than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add height to yourself right now? Which of you, by worry, I can tell you this, sometimes worrying will have an adverse effect or it'll make you lose weight or gain weight. You don't know. But it sure enough can't add height to you. It will not make you any taller. In other words, God said, give it to me and go to sleep. So why do you worry about clothing? Air Force Ones. Why do you worry about wrinkles in your shirt at a time like this? You got clothes. You got a place to stay, food on your table, and clothes on your back. God has been good to you, and you should be grateful. He's taking care of you. Matter of fact, the verse goes on to say in verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil, work hard, or spin, or get dizzy from the circumstances that go on around them. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory, with all of his temples and all of his wisdom, was not arrayed or designed like one of these flowers. So beautiful without worry. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, yes, it is a little bit of faith test for many of us. It is. We have to catch ourselves, not being foolish. For those of you that don't go to church and haven't been to church in a long time, if you happen to watch this on YouTube or on Facebook or on whatever type of link that you're watching on, we're not talking about being absent of brains and leaving our intellectual processes at the door. Being a Christian does not mean just being an idiot. I could be smart and be wise and walk according to God's purpose in my life. We could walk and chew gum too. It doesn't have to be either or. You believe in God and it's thoughts and prayers. No, I can have faith and works, but not just works, because many people just work themselves to death. I want to have work and faith. It's a partnership. They must go together in order for us to have success, in order for us to have sanity in this life. But what about what's going on today, Pastor Martin? I hear all of that. There's that corona, man, that corona. Well, you had no problem drinking them with the lemon in the middle of it. You used to like it. You saw the commercials. It used to be a Corona tree, and it's Christmas time. It used to be like that, and now they're taking a hit because of fear. Maybe God don't want you to drink it no more. Fear of pestilence and disease. Well, what about this? We call folk germaphobe. Now, all the folk that are germaphobes and introverts, today is your day. Everything that you've been trying to convince people of, you're trying to bring them inside. I was like this. I was driving down the highway this morning, and I was like, look out there, baby. There's no one out here. This is just wonderful. Walking to the grocery store, two people in there. I was like, this is a dream. But the reality of it is that there's a lot of people who have a flight or fight. And a lot of people are flying out into their homes and just staying there, hoping that what can travel through the walls won't get to them. You better live your life. Live it to the fullest. It is appointed a man once to die and then to judgment. And guess what? Everybody's appointment is not going to be within the next 2 weeks. It's not. Amen. I'm standing here before you today. I'm in my right mind sometimes. Smile on my face. Still preaching the gospel. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. The verse of scripture that I'm going to tell you is not the one that I saw on Facebook, which says, wash your hands, you sinners. No, this is the proper verse when it comes to pestilence and disease. And what is the Christian response to this? Psalm 91, verse 5 through 11. We talked about this on our past Bible study. It says in verse 5, it says, you shall not be afraid by the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence. That's what this is all about. That's what diseases are that walks in the darkness. You know, can anybody see the corona? Can you see it? Is everybody that's coughing, do they have it? How about when you cough? Maybe you're eating your food too fast. Maybe that's all that it is. Maybe you got allergies. What happens if it's in your house and then you got to separate everybody from out the inside of your house? It could just go on. You see how it can go on and on and on? If you start shutting everything down, I said this. I said, once Waffle House closes, then we'll stop. Waffle House is industrial level. Can we have a faith like Waffle House? People of God. Well, if Disney closed, Disney don't want to get sued. If Disney didn't have to worry about being sued, they would be open. Because people would be like, I caught that corona out there going through the teacups. And Disney, you should have been more responsible than to let me go out there based on my money and my own choice. You should help me with my bad choices. So it's for legal reasons. Stop tripping. And people don't want the government to be sued or school systems to be sued. So let's not get it twisted. Let's not get stirred up into hysteria with one new case being reported every single day. Did you know that if the media really was doing their job, that they would report every single time somebody got the flu? Every single time. Now, people who die, we feel for them. But for us that are alive, you don't want to be like the living dead. Very important. Verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Do you believe God? Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, God got them. Your reward is not the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God got you. God got you. If everyone took a breath this morning, breathe in. Don't breathe out, especially if you didn't have a Tic Tac this morning. If you breathe in, you breathe out. You're still alive. You're still here. You did not die. Feelings are one thing. Faith is another. So as I close this particular morning, I'm going to try to uninstall this fear from out of you. Let's go ahead and uninstall this fear. So let's put fear in its proper context. This will help you. Fear in context means this. First of all, when we talk about it, when you read things that say such things such as the fear of God, that is a legitimate type of fear, but it's not being scared of God. Unbelievers, when they are scared, thank you very much. Unbelievers, when they are scared, they come to church out of fear of dying. Even church folk, everybody that comes to church is not a believer. Let's understand that. So there's many in the world right now that are scared because of death and dying. And they never really thought about what will happen if I catch this and die. They don't know. So that fear of the unknown begins to stir things up. And it's a unique situation right now because the people of God are being told to stay away from church. It never happened like this before. Most of the time when something big happens, people run to church. But now they're saying, don't come to the church. But God still had a plan. You know what his plan was? I'm going to take this social media phenomenon that's going on around there where everybody's online. And every church that does not have service, they're going to broadcast online. So watch this. There's going to be more people receiving the gospel today and over the next 2 weeks than at any other point of time in recent history. Everybody in your timeline don't go to church, and everybody in your timeline ain't saved. But man, oh man, when they see your church, when they see that broadcast, when they see that link because they can't go anywhere else, they may click off. They may scroll to some TikTok video, but for them, there's going to be a great number of people that's going to watch and see what's going on today. Even in our nation's capital, they declared today as the National Day of Prayer. And as our president, whether you like him or not, directed most of the people that follow him to a church that's broadcasting online. When was it? Amen. Thank you. I needed somebody to tell me amen. Fear in context. So when we say that we fear God, it's not what you think it means. Fear actually in the proper context means respect. So we should respect God. We don't need to try to taunt God. That's important. This is the other side of that. This is what I mean by you not going over and just saying, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and walk through TSA and God is with me. You go ahead and run up through TSA if you want to without your ticket. You're going to get tackled in Jesus' name. You don't need to go ahead and try to find the people who are infected and talk about, I believe God. Let me go ahead and minister what I need to them right now. And there will be nothing that will happen to me. No, you're going to get it. That's not using common sense, right? Right. That's when you're tempting the Lord God, because God was like, I didn't tell you to do that. See, now you're playing with me. It's like sometimes I tell my kids or my parents told me, I was like, don't play with me. I am not your friend. You are a friend of God. Through Jesus Christ. But God never said that he was your friend. You're his friend. He never said he was your friend. And it was talking about the relationship. So God will be gentle with us. He will give us care over time. But we also need to make sure that we are not fearful as we move forward. Amen. Amen. Come on, everybody, pay attention to children. If they're active, please take them outside. The fear of the Lord, in its proper context, is the beginning of wisdom. It's very important. When we know who God is and what he is capable of, we'll conduct ourselves in a better way. Not only that, it also shows us to be wise under the circumstances. It is good for us to know statistics. Christians, we should not be ignorant. We should not be aloof. We shouldn't just say, I believe God, and have a nasty house or a church that is not clean. So the deacons in the house, the women that are here that care the sanctuary, let's use this as an opportunity to clean even more. Some things that grandmama told us to do anyway. Wash your hands before you eat your food. And finally, fear, come on now, is a spirit. We're still uninstalling it. That is not of God, but of the devil. So we have, there's a difference between fear and respect. Respect God. You respect the situation at hand. Respect the nature of the disease, because the disease can be devastating to the eldest among us and for those that have weaker immune systems. So you don't need to go out and just be around everybody. You need to be cautious and you need to be wise. Respect God. Respect that this is a world that is not heaven. It is a sinful, fallen world. That's why it came up in the first place from out of nowhere. But fear is a spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What should we do? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him and be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers and sisters all around the world. But may the God of all grace, this is important, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Fear is a spirit that is not of God. It is of the devil. But then we have, but of power. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You got 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10 that illustrates that. But of power, this is the second phase. Luke 24, verse 49 says, but behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. As Christians, as believers, we are not powerless. We have God to help us. How does he help us? Through his love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8 says, love suffers long and is kind. It is not envious. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in doing wrong over and over again. That's what iniquity means. But rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, Facebook prophets, they will fail. Whether there are tongues that talk a lot of trash, those will cease. Where there was knowledge, it will vanish and go away. And then finally, and of sound mind. A sound mind comes from sound doctrine and support of our brothers and sisters in the faith. It was so encouraging to see many of you share the photos and share the notifications that we will be broadcasting live today. And guess what? How many of you know we've been broadcasting all along? So are we really doing anything different? No, we are not. What we're trying to do is we're trying to capture an audience that now has had their way of life be shifted and changed, to help them through these troubling times. So sound doctrine is important, as well as a sound mind. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 5 says, a sound mind is this: to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, false teachers, Hebrew Israelism teachers, Mormon type of teachers, Islamic teachers, teachers that do not know the things of God, but yet they claim that they are of God. Verse 4 says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, my brothers and sisters, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. The party does not stop because of this event. Souls still need to be saved because they may be taking their last breath. There may be infections that are swirling all around this world, but that does not mean that it will come close to your dwelling place. God has a promise of protection during times of judgment, people of God. Because God is still sovereign and he is allowing for this to happen for a reason. It will only know or be known towards the end. This is a good and clarion sign for us as believers to show our light and to show our light strong and brightly during this dark time. In the Old Testament, this was done by putting blood on the doorposts. When the 10 plagues came through from the times of Egypt, because Pharaoh was being hard-headed and he was being stiff-necked, and he said that I won't bow down to your God, I won't let your people go and be all that God has called them to be, then God allowed for the plagues to come and to just decimate that entire nation. Don't play with God. You got to respect him. But at the same time, those plagues, watch this, would affect the children of Israel if they did not follow his instructions. If there was no blood in the doorpost, and you were part of his children, as the children of Israel, then you would have died as well. That was in the Old Testament. So we got to follow instructions. If the nation or the leaders of this nation say, hey, Charlene Glancy, which is the mayor of Castleberry, would have said, hey, Pastor Martin, I need for you and all the churches in Castleberry to not have service this particular Sunday, then I would abide by that. She's my Facebook friend. She's helped me learn how to do ballroom dancing. We have a good relationship. But I did not get that indication, not for our church. So we carry on as normal. And I believe as a result of that, God is going to put blood on our doorposts. The blood is covered on this building. We prayed and we cried in this building several times. And we need to be very cognizant of that. Be very cognizant of that. But then what about the New Testament? In the New Testament, we no longer need to put blood on our doorposts. I don't need to get a lamb and then start putting blood. You all will be horrified seeing sheep guts on the window. So this is not that time. However, you know what has transformed, what has changed? Instead of putting blood or literal blood on the doorpost how they did in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the circumcision or the blood posts are actually in our heart. By you having a relationship with Jesus Christ, that particular blood will allow for you to be protected. It is by his blood that we are saved. It is by his blood that we have remission of sin. It is by his blood that we are joint heirs and that we are protected in this world. Do not be afraid. Be wise, be prudent. Sharp as a serpent, but as calm as a dove. Do not be petrified. Be cautious. Give an encouraging word. Every parent that came through our daycare that was concerned about the coronavirus, I said, everything is just fine. That's the reason why we have you all, along with your children, wash your hands before you enter into the building every single time. And that is also the reason why we have you wash your hands before you pick up your children. These are normal things that have always gone on, but now it has a heightened level of attention. But what have we done differently? Nothing. Those toys and our building gets bleached every single day by the workers that are in that particular facility. We spray Lysol all throughout the seats on a regular basis. Sometimes we have to because some of y'all be letting it rip during service. And you hope nobody or your neighbor doesn't die. Come on, stand to your feet. I wanted you to smile. Amen. Amen. I was also advised by the Facebook crew to not do turn to your neighbor. Because normally in the church, you'll say turn to your neighbor and say neighbor, but we're not going to do that this time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for your peace. We thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord God, for just extending a little bit of joy during this difficult time that the nation is going through and the world is going through. Let us be a beacon of light, of faith. Let us be encouraging to those that are around us and beyond. Let us be those that can give somebody something or some type of hope that they could rely on when there is no hope. We thank you, Lord God. Bless those individuals that had the courage to come this morning. And bless those that even had the courage to stay at home. We thank you, Lord God. Clear their paths. May our people be protected through this time. Let no death angel come to their dwelling place, Lord God. Let them be protected. Let them rest on your promise that you will keep them in perfect peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now turn forward. Don't turn to your neighbor. Turn forward and say, it's gonna be all right. See what I did there? All right. Be blessed, people of God. Now, we got to do that for 2 weeks. Just say it forward. It's going to be all right. Be blessed, people of God.